Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Todd Kunin and Chris behind the scenes, taking care of our business, pushing the buttons and sliding things up and down. We appreciate him here. Also, Chris in Texas taking care of us. Thank you very much. It is the 10th of July, 2021. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Again, 855-529-7234 if you have a question. We're going to talk about briefly what we're going to go into here is a couple of things. The most important thing we're going to do, did we finish up Elon Musk? We finished that, but we're going to talk about Los Angeles Superior Court.
Angeles Superior Court. By the way, I think that Chris might need to update his resume a bit there. I can see it now. It's going to be experience, broadcast engineer, description of duties. I push buttons and slide things up and down. That's the description I'm looking for.
It's already on there.
Okay, good, yeah. Good.
All right. Then we can talk about Kardashians at the same time. So.
Why not?
So we're going to talk about L.A. court being fine. We're going to talk about the Kardashians. We've got a case or no case. But before we get to that, we have a caller very briefly who wants to talk about COVID-19 lawsuits. Go ahead. Who do we got on the line?
We've got David from the Bay Area.
David, thanks, bud.
Yeah, I'm not in California, and a couple of your listening area down in...
be careful of you. Okay, go ahead. He's got you. Go ahead.
I'm good.
Go ahead. You got it. Good.
You've got stations in Northern California and in Southern California.
Right.
And up in Mendocino County, Shasta County, they're doing great. COVID death rate is, they've lost like one person in a month kind of things. But down in toward Needles, San Bernardino County, they are losing 30 people a day.
Wow.
And the radio station down there is just constantly given bad advice. They're acting, you must be, hiding under your couch. You must be I don't want to talk about the invectives they give you. But I'm just wondering about radio stations that go out of their way to give bad advice in the middle of an epidemic.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call, David. I appreciate it. And we love having callers and talking about it. That's kind of more of a political thing. You're talking about liability of people saying things that are not proper according to what the CDC says or according to what the government says. First of all, we can't give an opinion on that over the air, but in general, let me talk about generally the COVID issues. There's a lot of issues when it comes to COVID. There's a lot of lawsuits going on concerning COVID. One of it is there's a lot of businesses suing their insurance company saying they're covered for their losses for any monies that they've lost from their business, and that their insurance company should cover that. But they're saying there's an exception or riders or exclusions that says COVID says, that doesn't cover COVID. And I can get into that. I did a whole article on that. And then what David's trying to bring up here is what about people or stations? And by the way, we're 100 affiliates, and we're not aligned with any specific radio station. We're on our own, and they just pick us up. So I don't know what radio station is saying what, David, so I don't want to opine on that or discuss that. But I think what David's generally asking is, what about people that give improper advice about over the air or even, in the newspaper or whatever about what COVID is or is not doing? Well, here's the answer, David. It depends, because guess what? There's a lot of information out there all over the place. As much as you want to say, this information is wrong or that's wrong, everyone's got an opinion, right? And as in experts, I'm not talking about individuals, but there's experts on all sides of the playing field, and that's in everything. As lawyers, we learn that, you know, two experts that look at one specific accident or one specific thing or in a criminal case, right?
Sure.
They can have a completely different view of what happened in a murder case, right? No, this person didn't murder him because here's the evidence shows these experts will say that. Ballistics experts, they will disagree with one another. Isn't that right, Todd? And so when it comes to the COVID stuff, there's going to be experts on both sides arguing this is what the cause is, that's the cause. There's going to be definitely a causation issue if there's ever any COVID lawsuits coming across saying you caused me to get COVID. That's going to be a difficult, slippery slope and a causation issue of proving how did you actually contract it, right? That's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Great question, by the way, dude.
It would come down to, in terms of liability, what did the radio station say? What did somebody on the radio station say? What did they say? What was the prevailing wisdom on the part of experts at the time they said it? For example, what if somebody said back in, say, February or March of last year before masks were supposed to be worn at the time, then the experts said, well, no, masks don't need to be worn. What if the radio station said that? And then 2 months later, the CDC changes the guidelines and says, okay, now masks need to be worn.
Right.
And then they say that. So what was said? When was it said?
And yeah. We don't apply to radio stations. This is in general, right?
Yes,
let's not use radio stations.
Just in general. It's a very difficult to answer. And also remember this. Most shows, they have disclaimers just like we do.
Right.
That, you know, look, don't take what we say as medical advice.
Right.
Don't take what we say on radio laws as legal advice.
Right.
There are so many variables that come into play that's a very difficult question to answer. You also have to deal with, you know, the disparity in death tolls that David talked about.
Right.
There's also San Bernardino County versus Mendocino County might be a disparity in population density.
Right.
That could have something to do with that. I don't know all the facts. I don't know what the numbers are, but
let me tell you, isn't that true? It's just there's so much information out there. It's just it's mind-boggling to me. Anytime someone asks me my opinion on that, I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I'm just your head spins, right? But we deal with cases like that. That there's so much information on a certain case, and the experts are going all over the place. I can tell you experience after experience of trials that you do trials, and the evidence is all the way on our side, but yet. What? The jury went this way, right? Or oh my gosh, the evidence isn't that good. They got better evidence than we did. They presented more evidence. Well, we won, and we won well. You know, you just don't know what's going on.
That's why I heard once from a personal injury attorney 20 years ago, and he said, you know, the reason most cases settle is because sometimes things are too important to leave to a jury.
That's true. And in fact, a lot of people you settle as you're walking up the steps. But yeah, this COVID thing is going to be very interesting to see what happens with the lawsuits and the legal issues. I know the government is trying to pass laws and/or is the middle path. I can't keep up with them to protect, you know, people and businesses from being sued for people contracting COVID, right?
Sure.
And so that's a question, and I don't know, David. That's way beyond my pay grade, which our pay grade's pretty low, isn't it?
It is, pretty much. But we're going to cover a case here, Los Angeles County Superior Court, probably a little later on this hour, where they face some liability, and it's COVID-related, but it's a little bit different than the cause and effect that we're talking about here. So stay tuned. That's an interesting thing how that case shows.
Yeah, that's going to come after the break because we've got about a minute left. But, yeah, that's a great question. And I think a lot of people bring that thing up. And people have talked to me as a lawyer about that. You know, what's going to be the liability of COVID? What's going to be liability of employers, too, David? Not just the radio, this station. What about employers? Are they required to make people mask up? And don't forget, we talk about government. You show up to the government entity or the courthouse, they've got to do this. But what about the private businesses? It's private. It's different. So don't forget, businesses are different than the government. There's different standards. So when we come back, we're going to do a case or no case first. Then we're going to talk about Los Angeles courts that got fined. We'll be back after.
Commercials opinions and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. That's 800-493-6112.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
How did that happen? Oh no.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
Chris, people listen to us for one thing and one thing only. The only thing they care about is not just Todd and I and Denise, but they care about case or no case. Roll it.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
All right, now we go to Altamont Springs, Florida, for Case or No Case. There was a certain man who drove an older Volkswagen Jetta who apparently had Tesla envy. One day he pulled up beside a Model 3 and banged his Volkswagen door into it several times. But he was not done. He then took his keys, found the sharpest one, and rubbed his set up and down the side several times. And to make sure his anger was properly vented, he kicked the car several times and drove away.
Again, similarities to Todd's dating life. Eerily. Apropos.
Oh, my goodness. But this man was missing some critical information about the high-tech car called Sentry Mode. It keeps an electronic eye open all around the vehicle and rolls a video recorder if anyone comes nearby or causes the car to vibrate or rock for any reason. By the way, the Volkswagen did not have Sentry Mode. But the police got the video and found the vandal. William Meager was arrested on suspicion of felony vandalism, but he said there were no warning signs on the Tesla saying, "I was on video surveillance and didn't even know it." So he asked his public defender to try to get the Sentry video disallowed. So I ask you, case or no case?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Todd, you're up. You're up, man.
And this is a criminal law one.
Yeah.
To Sentry, that reminds me, there was a series of commercials back in the day where it was the trunk monkey. Somebody comes up and you hit the button for trunk monkey. A trunk pops up and a monkey hops out with a crowbar. It's the people that are trying to break into your
car. Is that what it is? It's called trunk monkey?
All right. Oh, okay. So the first thing that comes to mind here is we have this Sentry Mode that takes video. And if it was video only, I don't think there's an issue. But if there was audio, maybe the guy, the defendant, can raise the argument that audio recording of my activities was made without my consent, so he might try to argue that it is some sort of violation on the part of the vehicle owner to. But if it's just video and not audio, the wiretap laws don't necessarily apply. So I am going to say this is a case, but the defendant loses on his suppression issue. He is not able to get the evidence excluded because there was no warning. If that were the case, then, well, you know, every homeowner that had a concealed camera, everything would be invalidated as evidence, and it never is. So he loses on the suppression issue. That is valid evidence.
Okay, so you say?
I say it's a case, and the defendant's. The defendant loses.
Okay, so case. Okay.
Case and defendant loses. Ah, you know what? I don't trust Cal, especially when he's not here. I don't. Usually, the best part about it, Chris, you don't know. We can look at his eyes. We can look through the glass and go, is he faking it or not? But you know what? He's not here. You know what? This just sounds. What was the guy's name again?
His name was William Meager. M-E-A-G-H-E-R.
Oh, with an H.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meager.
All right, so he's got an H in there. He wouldn't have put that one in, so it's got to be a case. It would be something like M-E-A-G-E-R. So I'm not doing anything to do with the law. I'm just trying to figure out the psyche of my producer. So that's part of case or no case. So I'm going to say it's a case, and I'm going to go with they cannot. The evidence comes in, and the defendant loses. I'm going to stick with Todd, but I'm telling you, I have to think right away of whether or not this is a real case or not. But the spelling did it. He wouldn't have spelled it that way because he would have spelled it just normal, right?
Going to the ancillary facts.
Yes,
here,
I'm going to the ancillary facts. So I think we've got enough time, Chris, to go ahead and we have about a few minutes.
We've got about 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's go through it. Let's finish it up.
Well, unfortunately, this one feels a little. Not fair to me either, and also unfortunately,
not fair to us. He
you're
made it
both
up.
Wrong.
Oh,
it's no case, but the reason there was such a vandal, but he's not yet been identified by the police.
Oh.
In fact, his last escapade was July 4th, and the police are still looking for
him. Wait a minute. So the name, again, was with an H?
M-E-A-G-H-E-R. Meager.
And that's a made-up name. Because if he said they haven't found him yet.
He made it up.
Or either they've found the guy, and they have, well, they've found the Volkswagen and the guy's name, but they didn't find him yet. Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like a fair... case or no case to me.
It is. He's right. It's not a case. It is, well, I mean.
But nothing has been filed yet, although.
But it really is kind of a case, isn't it? It's a case, but they haven't
filed
it.
Well, that's why we always do it's a true scenario, but it has not become a case. No case has been filed yet.
That's stupid.
Yeah. And I suppose technically that's true because you have a police report, but the DA would not file a case until they're able to file
it. But don't forget, here's the rule.
Observe a defendant.
Ready for this? The rule is the person sitting in the producer's seat gets to decide if that was fair.
That is true, and since you're in the big seat.
Well, it feels like it's just not a case because they haven't found the guy yet and haven't filed one in court, and that... So it's not even a legal issue at all.
Right. I think that would be Cal Hunterian logic at its best. So not a case.
So we get zero. We don't get
zero.
Anything.
But we both got 4 points on the day.
Yeah. Well, with that, that is the end of this week's case or no case. Unless there's got to be a good kitty bump for that one, Chris. Before we go out, just give us a good kitty bump.
Let's see.
Just give us something that is the end of case.
You're a whiner.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly right.
He picks the one that we don't hear very often that is right on point.
When we come back, and we're about ready to you know, we're going to talk about Los Angeles Superior Courts fined $25,000 for some COVID-related issues, and then we're talking about the Kardashians. They have a judgment against a cosmetic company. We're going to talk a little bit more details about that, and then we're going to tell a little more about Todd's dating life, which will take up pretty much the rest of the half hour. No, actually, it'll take about 30 seconds.
We just lost all of our listeners the minute you said that.
And then when we're done with that, we'll end the show. We're going to do at the very end, don't forget, what do we do? We do what? Quick takes.
Speaking of Todd's dating life, quick takes.
Quick takes. We'll be back after this. Todd's dating life with quick takes.
This portion of Radio Law Talk is brought to you by Strauss Naturals. For more information, go to StraussNaturals.com. That's STRAUSS, StraussNaturals.com.
Wayne Elliott here to tell you about my experience with Strauss Naturals heart drops over the past 20 years. Strauss Heart Drops saved me back then and changed my life forever. It's hard to describe how invigorating it is when you support your healthy blood flow everywhere. There is scientific evidence that Heart Drops ingredients help maintain healthy lipid concentration. Cholesterol is in the blood lipid group. This supports blood flow, our body's most important function. I was able to maintain a healthy heart and blood flow. Strauss Heart Drops work, I can assure you. No contraindications with pharma drugs. Strauss Heart Drops are safe, and Strauss guarantees your satisfaction with a hassle-free guarantee so you can't go wrong and certainly have nothing to lose. I've seen folks taking Heart Drops that have greatly improved their lives. Available online at StraussNaturals.com. Thank you very much.
These products may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards.
California plans to require masks for all students in the fall, despite guidance from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that says vaccinated students and teachers don't need to wear them amid proper physical distancing. State health officials said the requirement will allow for full-time in-person learning and for all students to be treated the same, whether they're vaccinated or not. For months, the Biden White House refrained from criticizing Republican officials who played down the importance of the coronavirus vaccinations or sought to make political hay of the federal government's all-out effort to drive shots into arms. Not any longer.
We need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
This is USA Radio News.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Or 1229. 800-734-1229. That's 800-734-1229.
Bread's the best. Tom, not so much.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
We're back talking about L.A. Superior Court that got fined $25,000. It's not what it sounds like. What I mean by that is, don't forget, there's in different states, every state's got a, in California it's called Cal OSHA, which is basically a government regulatory department that oversees the safety of workers, right? And so what happened, there's a few people that died in the Los Angeles Superior Court from COVID. Those are the allegations. Apparently that Cal OSHA came in and fined him $25,000. But what was the reason?
Yeah, so the thing to remember here is when we talk about COVID litigation in the terms of people being sued. Oh, I got COVID and your business didn't have a lockdown. The big question there is causation. Did your going to that business cause you to get COVID that later resulted in, you know, a person's death or serious medical harm? That's not what's really going on with the Cal OSHA. It's not a cause and effect thing. In Cal OSHA with the Occupational Safety Health Administration, if you're an employer and an outbreak occurs under COVID, if there's a safety issue, if there are guidelines that need to be filed, that need to be followed, OSHA can fine you as an employer if you fail, for example, somebody gets COVID in the workplace. OSHA says you got to notify OSHA that that occurred. We're not talking about causation. We're talking about this is a workplace condition. If OSHA says you have to have certain separation among the employees and they find out that you're not doing that, that can be an OSHA violation. So OSHA came in as a result of, in the court system, there were some deaths. OSHA came in and looked at it and found out that when it came to the court reporters, they were being put in a location where they didn't have a saying some of the court reporters had tested positive for COVID. Those weren't reported to OSHA as a workplace condition. And because of the violations of reporting and workplace conditions, the L.A. County courts had a $25,000 fine imposed on them by OSHA. Now, they can appeal it, and they say they're going to appeal it. They don't believe that that applies, but for employers in California, you just got to realize, and in other states as well, it's not about whether or not your business actually gave somebody COVID because of what's going on. It's about whether or not you adhered to the notice requirements. You know, you as an employer, take it out of the COVID context. Somebody could suffer, an employee could suffer an injury. Say you got a business where they got conveyor belts and somebody hurts themselves on the conveyor belt and it's a serious accident, right? And let's say you have a complete defense to it. It was employee negligence. It was not the employer. Yep. If you don't report it to OSHA, you're going to get fined not because of the accident, but because you didn't report it.
Right. It doesn't matter under most of these work under these laws concerning whether you're not, quote, negligent while you're at work getting injured. It's just if you're at work, you get injured, then there's workers' comp coverage. You know, that's
yeah.
what it is.
And so that's what this here is. It's OSHA just didn't get notified timely, and there were certain protocols that were not followed. That's what the nature of the $25,000 fine is. We'll see where it goes. It's just odd.
And they're appealing it.
Yes. it's just odd when you have the court is the one that is facing the lawsuit. Normally, the court is the one that sits as a judge over the lawsuit.
That's
but,
exactly
you know,
right.
Yeah, stranger things.
Stranger things happen. But this last, usually the last half hour, our third hour, we're pounding through things. We're going to go out of order. We're going to talk about Kardashians. But I've got to bring up, we're supposed to bring this up a few weeks ago, but the city of San Jose, California. Again, this is one of the most interesting cases. And whether you agree or disagree with it, and whether you're conservative or liberal, it doesn't matter. It's just I'm going to call this interesting. San Jose City Council just passed unanimously a resolution that gun owners will be taxed for help. Basically taxed to help out pay for gun violence costs for the city of San Jose. I think there's going to be a Second Amendment issue here that's going to go forward. But they're saying that gun-related incidents have cost the city roughly $63 million every year. I want to look up. I know San Jose is one of the more dangerous cities in California, as in gun violence. But $63 million in cost. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm not quite sure what they added in as a cost for gun violence. But $63 million is quite a bit of money. But they're trying to make it so people who are taxed, they're saying it's going to be a minimal amount, about $12 per year. But they're going to be taxed for owning the guns, and that tax goes toward paying. And again, I'm generally paraphrasing, but that money's going to go for help pay that $63 million per year. I think that San Jose just needs some money to help cover some costs there, probably more police, medical costs, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the interesting thing. This is why I find this interesting. How are you going to enforce that? Yeah. I mean, don't forget, they don't have their own gun list of who's on the, to my knowledge, who's got guns and who doesn't. It's the federal court that does. And what about all the people that don't have them registered? Do they? And the interesting thing, at least what I've heard generally them saying, is they're realizing this is going to be a difficult thing to tax and or to force them to tax, but I guess they're believing and hoping that just when a police officer comes upon one and find that an individual had a gun, can you show me the proof that you paid your yearly tax? And if they don't, then they can confiscate the gun or something to that effect. But that's what they're thinking. Go ahead, Todd.
I think about this. Here's the definition. The definition of infringe, quote, to encroach upon in any way. And then I go over here to this other thing called the Second Amendment, which says the right to keep and bear arms, quote, shall not be infringed. I don't see how you can have a tax on continuing gun ownership when taxation is often described as the tax is the ability to destroy. I don't see how you can have a tax on gun ownership and then make the argument that it's not infringing on Second Amendment privileges.
Sure, but I'm going to argue the other side. I'm not saying what side. So they're already taxing when you buy a gun. There are taxes you pay on that gun. Now, let me finish. And then you're not only that, you're paying taxes on ammunition, right?
Yes.
11% tax on, it's a background check fee, whatever you want to call it, but they're already taxing that, and I don't think the courts have held that as unconstitutional.
But a one-time sales tax, or a tax when you purchase, a one-time tax, because it is a product, you have to buy it from somebody,
gotcha.
And that is different than having an ongoing tax merely to possess it after you have purchased it.
I see what you're saying. So your argument isn't that they can't tax, because they do tax bullets in California, and they
do tax as a sales tax,
and there's actually taxes for background checks, et cetera, but you're saying as an ongoing constant tax to hold or own a firearm, that's what you say may be constitutional.
Because the tax is now operating as an ongoing amount that you pay to continue to enjoy the privilege of possessing that firearm. Why do I have to pay to continue to possess the privilege, to continue to enjoy the privilege of possessing it when it's a constitutional right and it clearly says shall not be infringed?
Well, here's what's interesting, Todd, though. The interesting thing is they're recognizing this, how are we going to enforce it? And they know that it's going to be almost impossible to enforce it. And, you know, are the crooks going to come in and write, here's my money every year for holding a gun. But I don't know. I think it's more of a, and it was unanimous. It wasn't just one. It was unanimous. So I think it's more of almost a statement of the San Jose, you know, city council saying, this is ridiculous. Someone's going to have to pay for all this gun violence. Right?
Now, the interesting thing is, you'd like to say, well, as soon as this was passed, why didn't anybody sue in the courts to claim that this was an unconstitutional violation? How come it hasn't gone to the courts yet? And it's because technically the issue is not ripe. You don't have standing to challenge the constitutionality of a tax like this until you've actually had to pay the tax.
Right.
And up to now, nobody's had to pay it.
Right.
Just got imposed. Once it does reach the point where somebody's got to pay the tax, or they lose a gun because they didn't pay the tax, where they have been materially affected by this,
correct,
then somebody would have standing to then challenge it in court. That has not occurred yet.
So I wonder if someone brings a gun from outside of the city of San Jose that didn't have to pay that tax, how does that work? So I guess they're just trying to impose it on the citizens of San Jose, the city, right?
Sounds like.
So how's that fair about the people who are in the city of Palo Alto, just around the corner? They don't have to pay that tax yet. They can bring, I don't know, they bring their guns into San Jose. I'm just throwing questions out there. I like to just throw questions out there.
I want to defend myself, but stay right here. I've got to run over to Palo Alto to get my gun. I'll be back in a minute.
Sure to happen. Well, we're having a good time. Appreciate everybody being here. We've got one more segment. We are going to do our quick takes, and then we're going to get into the Kardashians. We'll be right back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
How did that happen?
Is this real life?
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Back again with the Three Musketeers, Chris, myself, and Todd Kunin. We are doing well, and we have not run the trains off the tracks without Cal and without Denise. We appreciate you being here at Radio Law Talk. Those of you who last through all 3 hours, you are the stalwarts. Thank you very much. We appreciate everything you do. We have some great fans out there that email us at info@radiolawtalk.com, and our Just great supporters. We, again, appreciate it. One final KGD shout out for KGDC in Walla Walla, Washington, and KHSS in Athena, Oregon. Thank you for joining us. We were talking. We're going to talk about Kim Kardashian, and I, you know, I didn't know during the break, Todd. You and I, you know, we talk about a number of things. I never knew the disparity of the difference in the net worth of the three different Kardashians. I could see there's a difference, you know. Khloe's not as wealthy as Kim, you know, I get that, or not, at least, is that, who's that according to, Forbes or what?
Yeah, I think ones that I saw was Newsweek. Anytime you type in celebrity net worth, they're going to bring it up and tell you how much, and that's an estimation, but the general consensus is that Kim Kardashian, 5'2", soon to be single, Kim Kardashian. I digress. Kardashian has a net worth of $1 billion. That's billion with a B, folks. And Khloe Kardashian is next in line. She is worth a paltry $50 million.
So he goes from a billion to 50.
Down to 50 million, and then Khloe, wow. I don't know how she's getting by. She's only worth 35 to 45 million. How does she feed her kids? I have no idea how this works. But we bring this up because there was recently a lawsuit that they filed. And actually, a lawsuit, it's recent in that it was settled and the case ultimately determined on appeal, but it had been going for quite some time. Back in the early 2000s, I'm going to say around 2012, the Kardashian sisters, Kim, Khloe, and Kourtney, they had entered into a naming rights and use of their likeness with a beauty care company. What was it called here?
Oh, it's one that kind of went.
Yeah, and the company went defunct, and the assets of the company was purchased by another capital management group. But the Kardashians were still supposed to receive their fee for licensing and branding to the tune of about $1 million a year, and they never got paid. So they filed a lawsuit against the company, and they prevailed, and then it went up on appeal a couple of times, and as they filed the lawsuit, it went to a 9-day arbitration process, and the arbitrator ruled in the favor of the Kardashians, and then they go through the appeals, and the net result of all of this is it's an $11.5 million verdict in the favor of the Kardashians, but because the defendants in this lawsuit raised such a stink and appealed and did all of this, they're on the hook now, according to the appeal, they're on the hook for the legal costs of the Kardashians, plus about $2 million in interest on the unpaid funds. And so, you know, the Kardashians are really coming out on top with regard to this. Well, the folks that really come out on top are the lawyers. Whoever right. gets whatever money, the lawyers get paid, so they come out on top. And, you know, as it relates to the net worth, so I was looking at this thinking, with regard to Kim Kardashian, wow, an $11 million verdict that she has to split three ways with her sisters, that's like me suing somebody for $5 if she's worth $1 billion. But for somebody like Kourtney Kardashian, that $11 million is 25% of her net worth if it's 35 to 45,000, right?
Right.
So
yeah, we're gonna follow that and see what's going on.
We'll see what happens.
Hey, you know, the Supreme Court is in session, has been in session, and we've been hearing quite a few Supreme Court cases recently. But I just want to give you a few little upcoming Supreme Court issues that they're going to be deciding. So what happens to the Supreme Court? There's appeals, and then the appeals, they decide whether or not they're going to take it and decide the cases. That's called whether or not they deny cert. If they what's called deny cert or certiorari, that means they're not going to take it up and listen to it, and whatever happens with the appeals court, it stays. But here's some stuff coming up. I didn't realize that this case is being argued before the Supreme Court, and I haven't heard that they've mentioned, I don't think they've decided yet, is there's a Hollywood movie called War Dogs. You ever heard that?
I've heard of War Dogs.
Hey,
yeah.
War Dogs. So there's a big freedom of speech issue here because it's a big First Amendment issue because Mr. Berisha, who is the son of a former prime minister, says that the book harmed him by falsely linking him to one of the arms dealers in Miami, that it kind of insinuated that he is the the person, and he sued for defamation, and the court's gonna, looks like they're gonna take that up and possibly look to see if whether or not that is a freedom of speech or if it applies to him on a defamation case that they're defaming him. So that's one that's coming up, and I think that's kind of interesting. And then before we end, I just wanted to come up. I mean, we've got a few minutes left, Chris, just a couple of minutes. I want to bring up a couple fun things. What I like to do is I like to bring up some things in court that have occurred, and then we're going to get to a case or no case. I mean, then we're going to get, sorry, to our quick takes. And these are the funniest little sayings that occurred. And there's an attorney that we know by the name of Sebastian Gibson that actually has just noted down some funny sayings in depositions and in court. And that has happened before to me and to Todd, where we say something that we really don't mean. And one of the, this is the funniest one. Do you have a first name, John? So the guy asked the guy, do you have a first name, John? And then here's another one in a deposition. Could you repeat that again for those who heard it the first time? It's like, what? You know, and there's another one says, does your wife know about this trip, talking about a trip? But anyway, there's some little funny sayings that occur all the time in Radio Law Talk we like to talk about.
I like this one from a deposition. This is an attorney deposing a doctor who conducted an autopsy.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorites. It says, attorney, doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? Witness, no. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. I see, but could the patient have still been alive nevertheless? Yes, it is possible he could have been alive and practicing law.
I remember you brought that one up.
His brain sitting in a jar on my desk. I love that one.
Yeah, I always talk about the case that a good friend of mine was involved. This is an actual case where it was a criminal case, and it was about whether or not the person was arrested for basically defecating in public, right?
Yes.
And the issue was whether or not he actually did it and there was any proof of it. And apparently someone saw it, called the police, and the police came out, and he was obviously not doing his thing at the time, but there was the evidence sitting there on the front walkway in front of this business. And as they went to court and the guy was fighting it, as if proof, you know, proof that that was my, what it was, and that was mine, right? And the questions and cross examination and the questions from the judge are classic. And you know, the first thing is, well, you know, the officer's like, I walked up and looked, the officer, you, I could just see the officer's face, and I wasn't there, but him going, really, we're going to be cross-examined about this issue. Yes, we are. So how do you know it was what it was?
State your qualifications for identifying
yeah,
poop.
Yeah. I saw it. And then the judge said, well, I mean, and the judge opined and talked about it and said, but what about the olfactory, the smell, the thing? How do we know what it was? And how do you know that he did it? We saw him pull his pants down. This is the witnesses. But how do you know it is what it was? It was so funny to read all this transcript to see people. You could tell they're just scratching their head going, what? Are we really doing this? But anyway, without that, we're going to go to our quick takes and roll the quick takes. Do you know where that quick takes is, Chris, that he does? No? Okay, don't worry about it. We do a thing called quick takes at the very end as we finish up our show. We appreciate you being here. We want to do a quick take of just remember one or two tidbits. And if you remember those tidbits, that's all we care about. So go ahead and roll that little jingle.
Now, quick takes. Final thoughts on some of the stories discussed on Radio Law Talk and some we didn't get to.
Go ahead, Todd.
Well, my dating life, it is not like a gyroscope. Sad to say.
My quick take is Britney Spears has 31 million followers on Instagram. Free Britney. Don't worry about it, Britney. I'm getting close. I have maybe a couple hundred thousand. I'm going to catch you. We appreciate you being here. We'll be right back in 1 week. Hold on. Just enjoy your week and see you at 9 to noon Pacific time. Thank you for being with us. I'm your host, Frederick Penny. Good day.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.